Amen. I'm going to preach really short today. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to try. Before I start, I do got to give my back row an apology for Wednesday night. I said, man, when you sit on the back row, you get distracted. I know everybody can't sit up front. I know that. But just don't let people distract you. Man, it's so easy to get distracted. Amen. And I know sometimes I sit in the back and Tracy fusses at me. Says, you need to be up front, back of me when I sing. No, I'm kidding. No, I love our back row people. Amen. So that was a sincere apology. Because what I said, if you don't remember, I said, man, when you sit in the back, I don't know whether you're having a good service or not. I'm up front. I said, I don't care. I do care. I do care if you're having a good service, because I love you. All right, that apology's over. I know it wasn't a good one. I'm not good at apologizing. Mark chapter 6, it's moving on. Mark chapter 6, verse 4, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor in his own country and among his own kin. Man, that's hick, you know, his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. This is country. Man, these are country verses right here, ain't it? Talking about them kin and them sick folk. Amen? And he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. You can be seated. If you're a visitor here today, we welcome you. We're so glad you're here. I got disclaimers that I always make. One of them is, if you were looking for a quiet little church, this ain't it. You know, one of those ones, man, I used to go to church and I was afraid to sneeze because it was so quiet. I knew everybody was going to turn around and look at me. And then I started going to churches that believed in divine healing and I was afraid to sneeze because I didn't think I had faith to get myself healed. So just don't sneeze in church. But another disclaimer is this, man, we love Jesus and we love God's word. So you don't have to wait till you get home to say amen. You can say it right now. You can say, preach it, preach it. You can stand up and whatever you want to do, man. We're excited about Jesus. The Bible says that he marveled at their unbelief and went around about the villages teaching. He would have done miracles. He could have done miracles. But because of their unbelief, he did very few. He laid hands on a couple of sick people and he healed them. So faith is important to the move of God. It takes faith to move God. I mean, let me make sure you know this. It takes faith to move God. Sam, I can't just come in here and expect God to move without believing that God's going to move. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not improbable, it's impossible. So I've got to believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's some things that go hand in hand. Y'all know me. I believe in grace. I believe you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. I am borderline Calvinistic on that point. But man, when it comes to works, I'm borderline Lutheran. I think that faith without works is dead, and it abideth alone. So because you say something doesn't mean you believe something. So when you say it with faith, it makes a difference. You notice we're not the children of Moses. That means we're not the children of the law. We're the children of Abraham by faith, because Abraham had faith. Do you know that it was counted to him for righteousness? And we've got before circumcision. Do you know it was before the token, before the sacrifice, before he did all of that, before Abraham did all of that, he was already counted righteous by faith. So what we do, it's not that we do this to be saved. We do this because we're saved. Because you believe, then there is a result in that belief and there is an action. Faith without works, as we've said, is dead and it abideth alone. Jesus goes into his own town. The problem is, it's in your own town is where it gets a little tough. I preach to you almost every Sunday. I have to come up here and recreate myself every Sunday. Y'all know this story, but I'm going to share it anyway. I hadn't preached at another church in years, and several months back, we went to preach at a church, and man, all my jokes were funny there. And everybody was, they were laughing. And Robin, little jerk face Robin here, tells me after church, she said, "Everybody was laughing at your stuff, but we've heard it 1,000 times." I said, "A prophet is without honor in his own country." So he was around his folk, and they was like, "Man, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Surely not." And sometimes we look at people and we label them because we know them. Say that again. We label them because we know them. And we know. Not only that, sometimes we label people because we heard something about them. We don't even know if it's true, but in our mind, we believe a certain thing about them. Well, I want to insert this into your thinking today, real quick. If you knew me yesterday, that don't mean you know me today. Because God's mercy is new every single morning. That means when I got up this morning, I could have repented, walking in the newness of life, and can be totally different than I was yesterday. Can you say amen? Don't judge a man by what you know about him or heard about him. Judge a man by where he is right now. Can I get an amen? So Jesus says, "I'm not going to do much here." Their perspective of Jesus was so small. I think we err sometimes when we get in a habit of our walk with God. We get into a habit. Anybody, you get up, you do the same thing every day. Most people do the same thing every single morning. Every day it's a routine. And we're just waiting on Saturday. We're just waiting on Friday. Man, if I can just make it till Friday. Wow, you get a 2-day rest and you get to go back at it again. What a blessing that is. But we get in a habit. We get in a routine. And sometimes, Vicky, there's been times I pray on my way to work. And there's been times that I'm driving down the road praying, and the whole time I'm praying, I'm thinking about what we're doing that day. No, not y'all. When you pray, you're zoned in. I'm telling you right now, I've been in church with my hand raised, not even thinking about what my hand's up for. And I know you've done it too. You're sitting like, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Where are we eating at? I think sometimes we get in a habit, and in that habit, we forget how big God really is. Sometimes I have to bring my mind back around. I have read whole chapters before and got to the end and couldn't tell you anything that was in that chapter. And I go back and I say, "I'm going to read it again. This time I'm going to pay attention." And about 3 verses down, I'm gone again. Nobody else had that problem. Man, sometimes we get in this place and we get in this habit and we forget what we're really reading. We're reading the Word of Life. We're reading the Word of God. We're reading a letter that God wrote to us that tells us, and sometimes we forget. We get so familiar with the Spirit of God that, let me share this with you. So it's been several Wednesdays ago. Aaron, you can say amen to this. Man, it was an awful service. Y'all know the difference, don't you? Man, it was one of those services that was just awful. And it was y'all's fault. It was dead in here. Nobody was doing anything. And after church, Aaron texted me and he said, "Man, if me leading worship is based on that service, I'm not called to do it." And I said, "Well, if you base that off that service, I ain't called to preach either." And man, it was just one of those services that was like, I don't know. If it was a heartbeat graph, it'd be straight line. But what's funny about that is we noticed it, and the reason we noticed it is because normally it's kind of happening. And we noticed it because it wasn't normal. Now, I don't know the graph of a service. I don't even know if God even does something like that. But I do know this. There's a flow of the Spirit in a service. And sometimes when it ain't flowing, we know what it ain't. It's like that boy, he was called to preach. And he said, "Man, I'm called to preach. What do I need to do?" And his buddy said, "You got to get you some ties." And he said, "Nah, there's got to be something else." And he said, "Oh, you need that anointing." And he said, what's the anointing? He said, I don't know, but Grandpa's been preaching for a long time. Let's go ask him what the anointing is. So he goes and he says, Grandpa, what's the anointing? He says, well, I don't know exactly what it is, but I know when it ain't. And we do. We notice that but do we notice the difference between a service that goes like this and a service that goes like this? Not much, because we get familiar with the Spirit of God. Let me say it like this. Let me sum all this up. What a privilege it is to have the presence of God anywhere near us, as messed up as we are. What a privilege it is to have the Almighty God walk into a room that have two or three people gathered together in His name. What a privilege it is just to feel His presence in the same room as this old wretched man that I am. What a privilege it is. I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to get familiar with His presence. I don't want to get to that place where it's like, oh, it's just Jesus. Man, we should always be like, oh, man, it's Jesus. It's His Spirit moving among us. How important is that? Their perspective of Him was so small. They didn't believe. He was Jesus. He was Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God in flesh, walking among them. And He said, I'm not going to do anything here because of their unbelief. Listen very carefully. If somebody tells you that they believe, and I've done this, I've witnessed to people for years. I witnessed to a man one time, and he looked at me and he said, you a Christian? I said, why? You a Hindu? He said, no, man, you a Christian. I said, you a Muslim? I said, what are you? Oh, man, I'm not really nothing. I said, you're not nothing. Well, I mean, I believe in Jesus, but I don't act right. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Now, what you're saying is you say you believe in Jesus. Because when you're a believer, it changes. You can say, oh, I'm a believer. That don't mean you believe. Because faith changes you. And to some of these sinners that say that they believe, and I tell you, we think it's a compliment when they call us up and they're like, hey, man, I got a need. Will you pray for me? And we're like, man, they had enough faith to call me and ask me to pray. I quit thinking like that. I said, what kind of person is going to call me and ask me to ask God to do something for them when they ain't never going to give Him any glory, ain't never going to give Him any praise, ain't never, let me tell you, God ain't a genie. He's not the cosmic pizza boy that 30 minutes or less or it's free. It's none of that. Let me tell you what God is. He's God. And because God is God, he that cometh to God must believe that God is. And when we believe that He is, Chris, it'll change the way we do and to change the way we walk and change the way we talk and change the way we pray and change the way we pray. And it'll give me a song, and it'll give me a deliverance, and it'll give me a desire, and it'll give me a zeal. When I found out who Jesus was, it changes everything. If you believe. Oh, I believe. No, you don't believe. If you believe you was going to hell, you'd change that. You don't really believe it. Because their perspective was small, they got small results. Hey, you know those few sick folk that he prayed for? Those couple that he prayed for, they was pretty happy he came to town. But he could have did so much more. Here's what's scary. If we had two people get divinely healed in this service, man, we'd be ecstatic. Man, I enjoyed your testimony. Man, God's a healer. God's a healer, ain't he? But how much more could he do if we would just believe him? If we just came in here, Eric, with a spirit of expectation, saying, you just got to know how big my God really is. And I've used this illustration for so long, but too long, we take our problems to God and we say, God, here's my problem. When we should be, we should be taking God to our problem and say, hey, problem, here's my God. There's a difference. There's a difference because when we look at it like that, we say, man, my God is higher than any mountain. He's wider than every valley. He's deeper than every river. He's more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or even think. An alcoholic has a hard time stopping. But when we consider the God that spoke the oceans into existence, He's able to take care of a pint. He's able to take care of that when we view Him like, but the problem is we make our problem big. We say, man, addiction's tough. Addiction's this, addiction's that. This is this, this is that, this is it. No, let me tell you something about God. He can get in there and change everything in the matter of a moment if we would just believe Him and stop limiting Him. What she got? Oh, that's bad. Grandma had that right before she left. Wait, what? What? You ever been around those people they call Job's comforters? You come in, they're like, oh, what's that on your arm? That looks like cancer. I just got burnt welding, but thanks. Thanks for trying to scare me half to death. Man, we make everything so big. Man, let's make God big. Amen. In our thinking, in our life. Sam, you having a Bible study at work? Man, pray that thing grows. Pray that thing grows into a revival. And it spreads outside of just that room. And they spread out into the hallway. Why? Because we're dealing with God here. I'm not praying to Muhammad. I'm not praying to Buddha. I'm praying to Jesus, and He's alive and still able to walk into a building and change things. I know this is elementary, but I still like the concept that God's able to move not just in this little room, but in our town and in our city and in our state. Amen. Oh, I believe God can even save baby dog. Watch this. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that the hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Years ago, there was a fad going through the Christian country and a Christian land, Prayer of Jabez. There was a book written on this subject, but man, how powerful is this prayer? God, enlarge my coast. The problem is we get to an area where we're just in maintenance mode. Let me say it again. We get in this place where we're just in maintenance mode. And when we get in maintenance mode, man, it gets dangerous in maintenance mode. When you're just trying to maintain and you're not trying to grow. Because He said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. I wonder if the filling is proportional to the hunger. So the more I hunger after Him, the more He's going to fill me. And the more He fills me, but I know we're doing this for a crown. I know we're doing this for a crown. And as one man said, oh, you're doing all this for a crown. When you get up there, you're going to throw it at Jesus' feet. I don't know about you, but when I get there, I want a crown that's like. I mean, some people are going to walk up there with their little crown and think, I want to be walking there like, man, Jesus, you're worthy. I know where you brought me from. All of this belongs to you. I want to give it to you. Man, where are you at in your walk with God? Do you believe He's able? I'm tired of looking at my family saying that it's not going to work because I've got a God that's able to make it work. I'm tired of burying my friends when I should be burying them in water baptism. Oh, I'm tired of the things of the world getting in the way when my God is so big. He's so big. Look at the person beside you and say, God's big. Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Lengthen thy cords. He's saying, stretch them out. I hate stretching. When you was in football practice, be honest, did you ever skip out on stretching? You made it look like you were stretching, but you could have went farther, but you just stopped. Yeah. Anybody else guilty? They're like, take your foot. Pull it up high. You about right here. That's all I got, coach. That's all I got. You know what they say when you stretch? You can reach farther. We've talked about this before. Have you ever been reaching for something? I don't know how it works. I don't know what happens to your body. But there's been a time or two that I've dropped a socket. And I can see it. And I didn't have one of those little extender magnets. And I was like... And man, let me tell you what's the worst feeling in the world. When you're like, I feel it. I feel it. I'm almost there. And I don't know what happens, but if you keep stretching, it's weird. Eventually you're like, you get so excited. You get so excited. And when you get done, it hurts. But you're so excited that you stretch out. Man, God wants you to stretch. He said, lengthen them out, stretch your stakes. He said, I want to do something. Make your habitation. I want you to make it bigger. I want you to make your outreach bigger. I want you to make your tent bigger. I want you to make your, I want you to just stretch it out. Quit being in this little tiny area saying, I'm satisfied with this, when what we need to be saying is, God, enlarge my borders. Last one, Psalms 4 and 1. Hear me. When I call, oh my God, oh God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. We talked this morning in Sunday school. Have you ever gave a testimony and said the wrong thing? Did you go home and you replay it over in your mind and you're like, stupid. Like, I didn't mean to say it like that. You get up to testify and you're like, you know, I was shaking a tower the other day. No, you was taking a shower. You weren't shaking a tower. You ever done that? You ever said it all backwards? Supposed to be shatter scours tomorrow. you just do everything all wrong. And then you go home and you think about it and you think about it and you think about it. You know what's amazing in that is, man, it'll put you in distress. We talked about the singers. You ever sang a song and hit a wrong note? Let me tell you what you think about. You don't think about any of the notes that you did good on. You don't say, man, I nailed 642 notes. Nailed them. No, you know what you replay? That one that you did wrong. And when you replay it, man, it puts you in distress. And when you get in distress, this is what's awesome about God. Even in your distress, he's enlarging you. Even when it don't go right, God's still working on making you more effective. Listen to this. Even when you fail, God's working through you. You don't get that. You got to get that. This is worth shouting about. Even when you fail, God is still working through you. Because, man, when you mess up, whatever you do, God's still working on you. There was a potter, and he was making a vessel, and the Bible says that it was marred in the potter's hand. I thought that once I got in Jesus' hand, I would be perfect. No, the only promise about being in Jesus' hand is he won't lose you. Oh, that's good. He won't lose you. But Brother Eddie, even in the potter's hand, we're marred. And the Bible says that he made it again, another vessel. So even when I'm in distress, God's still working on me. Man, I got up to testify one time, and I was going to talk about God making springs in the desert. And I got to find this so y'all will know. It talks about that in this certain spot in Isaiah. And then right down below it, it talks about him turning. He was going to turn deserts into springs. And then right down below it, it talks about him turning the springs back into deserts. I read the wrong verse. And I looked down and said, what in the world just happened? Like, I read this backwards. I thought this was about him turning deserts into springs. What do I even say? How do I even do this? I tell you what it taught me, Brother Eddie, in my distress, was read closer next time. Mark it better next time. Even in your distress, God is going to enlarge your tent. Come on, musicians, I'm done. Man, I want to let you know that we can walk out of here and say, God, I want my effectiveness to be bigger. I don't have to play by the same rules that the world plays by. I don't have to struggle when they struggle. It is so funny how people treat you, Jason, when they find out you're a preacher. Guy was telling a story about to these guys at work the other day. He was talking about he was going out, he got drunk, this and that happened, this and that happened, this and that happened. He didn't know that I knew the story. So when he told me the story, he told me the story totally different. He started it out, he was bragging it up to them. To me, he started out like this. Well, preacher, I was out sinning the other night. That's not how you started that story out when you was telling all the other guys. Told them totally different. You know what I want, Sarah? I want my effectiveness to touch him in a way that I don't care where he's at in life, he knows Jesus is able. I don't want to make God just a church thing. I want to make him a work thing. I want to make him a Walmart thing. I want to make him a Lowe's thing. I want to make him a Harbor Freight thing. I want to make him all those things because God is bigger. God is bigger. Out of habit, out of habit, out of habit. I've done this for years. I was in Harbor Freight the other day, and the lady looked at me, and she said, what's your name? And I told her, she said, Damon Davis. That sounds so familiar. And this is out of habit. I said, have you ever been in prison? And she went, oh, Lord, no. I said, me neither. I'm just kidding. Oh, but it's still, and I left there and I said, man, I got to quit. I got to quit doing that. I've done that for years. You look familiar. You ever been in prison? This guy looked back at me and said, which one? I said, dude, I'm joking, man. I'm joking. Oh, yeah, I was walking down Charleston Mall one time and this guy came running at me. He ran at me. Hey. I said, hey. You remember me? I said, no. We was in prison together. No, man, that wasn't me. Yes, it was you. Yes, it was you. No, man, it really wasn't me. I'm like, man, I've said it too much. He said, yeah, hold on. Beckley Prison. Yeah, we was in there. And I said, I've never been in. Yeah, man, you preached to us. I said, yeah. I volunteered. I wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, that was me. He said, I got out. Yeah. I see that too. I said, you going to church still? He said, nah. So, man, you need to change that. I know. See ya. He was so happy to see me for a minute. But, man, when I left Harbor Freight, Brother Eddie, I thought this. She said, man, that name sounds familiar. I should have said, man, do you know Jesus? Because let me tell you what, I love talking about him. I should have said, man, do you go to church anywhere? Maybe I've seen you in church. Not prison. I got to quit that. Because, man, I want to make it a God thing everywhere. Everywhere. I want you to purpose this week. Here's your challenge for this week. I want you to purpose this week. I'm going to find a way to let God start expanding my tent pegs. I'm going to strengthen my stakes because I know there's going to be a little pressure. Because, man, when it grows out, you get a little more pressure. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we sing? And I want you to look inward. Is there something more that I could do for the kingdom of God? I want to answer that for you. It's yes. It's yes. It's yes. It's not if you, it's will you. So when you walk out these doors today, Whatever you got planned, you're going to run into somebody. There's going to be a waitress, a waiter, family member, somebody that you've been meaning to talk to. But man, today is going to be the day. You're going to say, God, I'm going to enlarge you, Lord. I'm going to let you work. I'm tired of the unbelief, Lord. I believe you're able. I believe you're able, Lord, and I believe you're able to use me. Would you be that vessel? Would you be that vessel? Right now, would you just pray for you?